Okay, this is homeschooling for him. This is still part two, be warm and be filled. And these are the practical aspects of homeschooling for him. And this is lesson number 7, which is no worthless thing, setting no worthless thing before our eyes. Okay, ladies, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you open our eyes to the things you have us to see, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would just take our homes and our homeschooling and our children, Father, and just do a work in our homes, Lord Jesus, for you, for your glory. Lord, I pray that you be with us this morning, and I pray that you would speak through me, and we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I start the lesson, I do want to talk to you about something. I've had a couple people come up from the class. A lot of you are getting the workbook for women. And I must tell you, it's a very dangerous, dangerous book, because God's going to start to do things in your life, and you're going to see some wonderful results. But soon after that, you're going to find that a test is going to come up. Anytime we're given anything, we're tested on it. And if you remember, Pastor mentioned about tests, and there's, you know, a test because we're supposed to get a testimony out of it. If you didn't hear, you're supposed to get a testimony out of a test. So you've got to pass it. Now, if you've ever heard Joyce Meyer, she says, but what most people do is the monies. They don't do the test, they do the monies. But you have to do the test without the monies to get a testimony and realize that God's doing it. And ladies, it never stops. We're all growing, we're all being perfected, and I'm going through a major refining right now. And, you know, I'm tired. God has to just kind of get me so that I can't fight. I have a bad hip, and my husband always says, that's because you wrestle with God, Aaron. You know, it'll do that. And so I did wrestle with God, you know, several times, and I've been left with somewhat of a limp. But anyway, just be aware that that's what it is. And I just tell you, just keep doing a little bit. Maybe you just made all this kind of headway. And then when the testimony, you know, the test is coming, you kind of have, you feel like you're getting opposition. But just, you won't be able to go as fast, but just keep moving in that way. And if you do get just worn out, just sit down where you are. Just don't give up. You know, you can give up and give it to God, but just sit down where you are and just go, okay, you know, I mean, I'm going to get up here in just a minute. But just don't turn around. Don't just start speaking against it. Don't just say, oh, well, this is, you know, and just get into one of these. Because that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. But if you are determined to keep running the race, even if you have to sit down for a while and you're going to get up and keep going, then you're going to see. And while you're sitting there or while you're drudging along, it's laying aside those encumbrances. You know, as you start laying aside those encumbrances that you're too tired to carry, then you're going to see that you're going to be picking up the right things, and the wrong things are going to be left behind. But it is very normal. I mean, when we even have our stuff printed anywhere, it always jams every machine. Everyone, they go, I don't know what it is about your stuff. Well, I know what it is all about our stuff. I mean, we always have major problems, and that's just all part of it. We just praise the Lord and say, well, glory to God, you know, that's the way it goes. And so anyway, you're going to have to do that, but it's a wonderful thing. And some of you might think, oh, I don't want that book, I don't want to start doing things because, you know, I don't want to be accountable to it. And I felt the same way. Oh, don't even show it to me. But the fact is that we're going to read the bad consequences for not knowing. It says my people perish for lack of knowledge, or my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's basically what the church is. We're basically ignorant. And there are a lot of people that don't want to know either. But I will tell you, with wisdom and knowledge and all that, our rooms will be filled and our houses will be. But there's going to be tests. There's going to be opposition. We've got an enemy out there. But that's to strengthen us. That's to put those roots way down so that when the winds start to blow, you know, it gets those roots down deep so that they're solid, and that base of that tree gets very, very thick and things. So maybe there's nothing left in the trees, you know, we're all just bare, you know. But God knows that he's doing something, a work underneath, and you will look different. You know, you may feel like you're just dragging or something, but usually you just see the Lord in people's faces. And, you know, you're not going to be a woman of God unless you go through trials. That's basically, you're just not going to be a woman of God. And you just, your face will radiate the love of the Lord. And if anybody has seen Bonnie, who's been going through this cancer and stuff like that, I mean, did you all see her Sunday? She couldn't go in because, you know, of her immune system being down. But she was sitting up in the front row, really very close to us. And I'm going to tell you something. She looked like a model. She is gorgeous. The new wig that she has lost her hair. And, I mean, she's just glowing. And so this is what, and it's even affecting Tim and his, he just looks different and he just, anyway. So we're all going to go through it. And some are the little irritations and some are the big ones and stuff. But they're all going to be coming and that will prepare you on how to get that house on the rock. Well, let's go ahead and start this one. And this one is no worthless thing. And it comes from, I didn't even put that, oh, it's on the next page. Let me read it. It's from Psalm 101:3, which says, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grips on me. Well, when I read this in Psalms about 12 years ago, it really convicted me of the television set, though I just really didn't like it. And I didn't like the time in front of it. I really wasn't that big about, oh, no, television set. I grew up in a family. My father was in the motion picture industry, you know, television was his income, you know, and things. And so we were around it. We were around movie people all the time. We lived right in the heart. I went to school in Hollywood. I went to school, a private school, a block away from the Sunset Strip. This is where I grew up. And so for us to go, you know, people say, boy, you've come a long way, you know, from, and I have. But at that point, and I saw that, I just really started to pray about it. And it was during the time that Dan was gone. And so I just sought the Lord and felt that he was really saying, you know, disconnect that. And this is the time to make the break. And so it was very, the very beginning of the 2 years when Dan was gone. And so I asked him if I could disconnect the cable. And basically that meant you're not going to get anything where we lived. You just, if it wasn't cable, you didn't get a thing. You just got, you know, so that was a good thing. And I found that our children just changed. I changed, and my time just was so much better spent. There was a peace in the home, and confusion was gone, and it was just a major thing. But now most of you are, and I have gone through having it and having a husband who wants it and stuff, so I'm going to share with you at the very end how you do that, if it is your heart, but that your husband really feels that he needs it for whatever reason, sports or news or just because that's what he likes to do when he comes home and things like that, and how we can pray, because we all know that it's won without a word by our respectful behavior. But I will just tell you that it's important to understand, and you know, you do have a lot of control during the day and a lot of control, even if your husband says, you know, we need it for this or that. But if you just separate it and you just do things that are different, it's going to take a lot of their time away. Just your heart and the part that you are really in control over. And it can't be one of those rules type thing, but just a diversion from doing this to this. But for those who don't have a heart for it, don't really, have never really thought about it, I just want to share some scriptures. First, Proverbs 14:7, which we learned in another one, was said, leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. Certainly a lot of what's on there is foolishness. A lot of it is very, very bad now. And so 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So if you're sitting here saying all these things to your children, and yet the video or the television program or even these quick things that come on, and one of the things that I found there that the Lord just really started to show me back when we still had, and he was trying to bring me to this place, is we used to watch some of the older things that, like when we were growing up, and it was on that Nick at Night or something like that, but the commercials or those things that would just flash in there, it was like, it's almost like, I mean, this was, you know, here's this box from hell, you know, that views hell. And it's just like, it's in your house. I mean, it's like, oh, it's there, and you can't get it, you know, it's in there. And it's in the children's minds, and you can't screen it, because I know that a lot of people say, oh, well, we only watch this and this. But the stuff that's in between it, or the previews, or whatever, you know, is just incredible. And I will tell you, too, that once we got a hold of this, Dan really saw the difference in the children. He said, what's happened to these kids? Well, a lot had happened. Bad had been taken away, and then good had been replaced with it. And so I had more time with them. I read more to them. A lot of things changed in our lives, and so the children's changed, and so did I. And so one of the things that we, you know, was like not going to movies either, because you go to movies, you know, and even if what they're watching is fine, it's like the previews. Well, my father-in-law came, and this is none in my notes, but anyway, just let the Lord lead. But my father-in-law came, and they went to go see something that was, it was fine, you know, it wasn't anything. It was many, many years ago. But we went to this little dollar theater, and then we came in. And we had taught them, too, if they were ever around television or whatever, is turn from evil and do good. You turn away and you do something good, you know, and they would usually turn away and start picking up things is what they started to do. You know, they would clean out. That's a good thing, you know. So they would do that. But here, what are you going to do? You're in a movie theater. Well, anyway, they were sitting there. And Dan told me the story because I did not go. We had a little baby, you know, so they're disruptive. So they were all in a row, you know, this long row of children, and then my father-in-law and my husband. And the preview started on, and it was bad things. And I think the oldest probably was about, I would say 14, Dallas, probably 14. And here they are. And Dan turns to look at his father who's sitting there, and he notices that every one of them has their head down. Down on there like that. And he goes, Dad, look at that. And he goes, what happened to them? What's wrong with them? And he goes, they don't want to watch this. He goes, why not? And he goes, because it's bad. And he goes, what's wrong with it? And he goes, it's bad. They'll tell you why it's bad, you know, but they don't want to do it. And they were down like this with their heads down like that, like, you know, there's a bomb or something like that. And then, you know, then when it got better, then they tapped, and each one was tapping to get up because the movie had started and things. And so, you know, that was not Dan saying, get your head down or whatever. That was them who started it, I don't know, but they all instinctively put their head down and plugged their ears and things. And so they just don't want to be corrupted. Kids really don't want to. And it's almost like there's a stench. You know, if you live in a place, you know, when you're driving and then you go through a town that just kind of stinks, but after you're in there for a while, you don't really notice the smell. Or people's houses smell. Our kids always say that. Do you notice their house smells? They say, shh. You know, our house smells. Oh, our house doesn't smell. I said, that's because we live in it, you know. But our house smells. Everybody's has a smell. And some are bad smells. And you just get that and you just don't notice it. But when you get rid of that and then you see it, how horrifying it is to see what really is going on. And so the question you need to ask is how much time, how many hours is your child keeping company with evil and those people that are on there and are portrayed, you know? And even if your children are being homeschooled, if a lot of their time is being spent in front of the television or even videos, you know, how much time is wasted? You know, there's just so many different things to look at. All the evil. Okay, well, I don't watch evil. I only watch this. You know, some of what they're finding is we have this big problem with attention deficit disorder and things. And, you know, some studies have shown that they get into an alpha state, which is this, you know, this glazed over. Well, if you ever have television on and come in and watch them from the, that's what they have. They have this kind of glazed over. And it's like the walls of their mind are down. There's no protection. And anything there is just being taken in, almost in a hypnotic state. And for us to train our children to constantly just kind of zone out like that and have this, you know, almost hypnotic type trance go over them and to take those in. And so when they're in something that is difficult or they don't like it or they tune it out, they kind of zombie out, you know? And that's why a lot of people who work, they come home and they turn on the TV and they just do that. Some fall asleep, but some just stay in that hypnotic state, and it's very relaxing. It's a very relaxing state. But, you know, how dangerous is that? You know, it says be sober. Be sober, the lion comes, you know, to seek whom he may destroy. And, you know, alcohol does that same thing. It takes away our inhibitions. It brings us to this kind of like who cares kind of thing. But so can television and videos, too. It's that same hypnotic state. And then what they find, too, is that as soon as the TV is off, there is so much this inside energy, especially when they're watching something that's full of action. And then they just sit there. It's almost like is forced in there like a pressure cooker almost. And then you turn off the TV and they're just like, bang, you know, and they're just running all over the place. And for a child to sit for that length of time, and what a waste. And it does not help them to go into church and sit either. Those children who are, you know, with all this movement cannot sit and watch a pastor or even music or whatever to be able to sit still. This verse, 101:3 Psalm, I will set no worth, isn't that kind of funny, set, like TV set, right away I thought, oh, that's funny, you know. I don't know all translations have that, but New American Standard does. And, you know, I don't think that you can read it without letting that get into your head. I mean, if you really just correlate the two, you can't really read that. I will set no worthless things before my eyes. And it's almost like it's just sitting there. And it also says, you know, I hate those, it goes on to say, I hate the work of those who fall away. It's like, that's like linked right to it. It's like, if you keep watching this stuff and you put worthless things in front of your eyes, it's like, that's going to cause you to fall away from the truth. And so a Christian family or whatever, if you spend more time in front of the television instead of in his presence, I mean, how is that not going to get its grip? It's not going to, it says, it shall not fasten its grip on me. And it's almost like it's got you and it's pulling. And you know it's very addictive. Don't you know that? It's very amazing that if you have a TV on, that even though I hate television, I don't even want to watch it. When it's in a restaurant, it's almost like my eyes are constantly being pulled back and pulled back. I don't know if it's because of all the hours when I was younger or it just has that to everybody. I'm really not sure, but I still do that. And I'm thinking, I don't even care anything about that. So why am I watching that? And so it's just like, you know, you don't want that. And another thing that comes up is because of the place that it sits in the house. You know, do you ever just read like the Old Testament and you see these people who have these idols and you go, how ridiculous, how immature, how, you know, they are just so, you know, unintelligent and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think, is that not what we have here? I mean, we have a talking thing, but it's this main place. It's in the living room. It's like the main thing. And now they're getting bigger and they're overwhelming, you know, these big giant screens and stuff. And it's like, it's almost frightening. It's like a George Orwell kind of stuff. It's just like, whoa, you know, I just think, and you know, we have a lot of friends that are Christian and we go in their home and some of them have it, you know, and I don't sit there and go, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I had somebody that said, oh, you don't want to come in my house because, you know, I said, listen, you know, I am just so grateful that God has delivered us from that and that we don't have to spend our time in front of that. And so, anyway, it's just, you know, is that an idol in your house? Is it in a main place? You know, even if you can get a secondary place, you know, it can go into a lower place, into the house or whatever like that. I thought, you know, close it away or, you know, just bring it out for certain things. We were just staying at a hotel in Branson, and the way that it was situated was over the pool, but there was all these rooms, and we were up, we had to get up to go, and we opened up our curtains, and you know, every curtain that was opened up had television on going. You know, there's probably about 30 rooms we could see. It's like that's the first thing, they just tap right into that. They turn it on, and they go about their day, and they can't function without it. And I will tell you, too, a really dangerous one is with the older people, elderly people that are left alone. They're not in the homes anymore. It used to be that, you know, you would even move into their home and be in that family home. And so they were there and they were interacting with the grandchildren and stuff. And now they're pretty much by themselves. If you go to nursing homes, it's constantly on in a group room or in their bedroom to kind of keep them. But all that stuff going in. And I want to tell you, both of my parents have passed away, and there was, you know, some were, you know, dying for a time. And so during that time, you know, the television was always going. And I saw my father, who was a very conservative, very intelligent man, become very, very liberal in his views and his political views, which I just thought, that is no way. That is absolutely no way. If you knew my father, but because of his weakened state and because he just sat there and listened to all this time again, it just changed him. And I think, you know, if it can change somebody who is so dynamic and things like, you know, what is it going to do as far as bringing, you know, in our minds too. I don't trust what's there. I don't know, you know, I know a lot of it's lies, but what is the truth? It's not always just the opposite of what they say. It's mixed with it, and it's so hard to discern. And so there's just, you know, just constantly feeding on the propaganda of media. We look at other countries and, oh, you know, they have this propaganda and they have these things. Well, it's controlled by that here. You know, it's controlled by the elite in Hollywood and where the money's coming from. I mean, who really knows? But as Christians, I just think if we could just disconnect ourselves from that, if we could just disconnect ourselves, I think we'd really see a change in the church. I really think we would, because I think that television has done more harm for our entire world. That's what I really believe. The satellite dishes, and we know missionaries that say that there'll be a hut that's just mud, and yet there's a television set, and they're tapping right into Hollywood. We moved to out of the way. I mean, we live in the middle of nowhere, but you know what? They still tap in to Hollywood. They know everything, and you know, it never used to be able to reach them. For years, you know, they didn't have electricity until in the early 50s, where we live right now. But then they got TV almost instantly, and their whole life's changed, and there's a major welfare thing, and people, I mean, it's just the whole, it's just destroyed so many things, and so it's just to get away. And I just want to tell you, too, some inside things. My brother is a film editor. He even has an Emmy and things, and he was a film editor for 20 years. And retired from a major, I won't say who, okay, a major news, okay, that he did the major news, okay? And he said, Aaron, it is that way. They have a story that they want to get. They don't go out and see what is going on and come back and report what they see. They go and say, go get this. And they'll get that slant or that angle. I mean, we know personally that there could be a whole giant pro-life rally over there and 10 people that are for abortion, and they will take them marching and build that up and just totally ignore and keep their eye because of what they want to do. Or the scares or whatever, or taking one incident of child abuse and doing it up when it really wasn't the parents at all. That wasn't even their child, but they do it like that. And there's so much going on with that. But we can immunize ourselves from it by separating ourselves from it, because it tells us we are to separate ourselves. We read that a while back in one of the other things, but it is biased, and he told us about it. And even when he would get the footage, he had to get the footage that would do it. Though he said he brought us up to date on some of the big news things, and he says, I saw the evidence. I know what it was. I know, Aaron. I'm going to tell you, there's no question that this person was guilty or whatever like that. He said, because I saw the evidence. I saw it on screen, but it was never shown to the public. And so when you know that, you go, wow, it's really hard to even watch some of the things that we've just recently watched. Is it really accurate? Is it really true? You know, how do we really know what we're really seeing? And I want to tell you, too, because of cartoons and stuff, and to be watching about that. My father was a cartoonist back in the 30s, and when I was in high school, I colored for a cartoonist for Hanna-Barbera. And it was during, there was a takeover, and it was bought out, and they regretted it. Hanna-Barbera regretted that they sold out. They sold out for money, and they still had their name and things, but they had their hands tied. I mean, it would be like prison, you know, to see what was going on. And at that time, they had a board of directors, and I know it's that way, and they have all these agendas, people there, agendas, homosexuals, lesbians that were actually on that wanted to, if he came in, the man that I worked for, he was the one who developed and made cartoons. I mean, he thought them out, and he would do these things, but he would go in, and they would buy his stuff, and then twist it and put this other stuff in, and the way it was said and how it was to desensitize and change the minds. And another thing that's happening is with some of our old classics like the Flintstones and those kinds of things. They have taken them and they have totally rewritten them to have a total agenda. And so I just want you to all be aware of it, that, you know, oh, it's the Flintstones, that's safe. I used to watch it in the same. Unless it's the actual sounding of the voice, and if you have an ear, you can tell it isn't the same people. You know, you can tell that it isn't. But if it's a new one, I wouldn't do it. And some of the old ones are okay. You can see that it was a time when it was a bunch of men. They were family men. I mean, back in the 30s and things, and you could kind of see with that. So be careful about what you let your children do. And even, you know, people talk about, well, I'll jump ahead to the Christian and Christian son. You know what I find with it, that they're giving our children, you know, and we're hoping our ministry is going to do that. Our children have some ideas about that. But it's nonsense. So much nonsense. Nonsense. They don't need all that nonsense. They really don't. They're hungry for to grow up and mature. You know, not to be grown up like they do now. I mean, but to mature and to be wise, and they like that stuff. They would feed on it if you just let them have enough. It's just the same as junk food. Yes, it's very appealing. My kids only want junk food. But take the junk food away, leave them hungry for a while, and bring in good food, and they'll like it. They really will like it if they have enough exposure. And then if they feed on that long enough, they don't want the junk. That's really what happens. And so it's the same way with this and with the Christian things. I just have found that most of it is just nonsense and worthless. Anyway, but getting a steady dose of this every day is like getting a steady dose of poison, and they build up an immunity to it. But what is it doing really to their minds and things? And, you know, is it possible to be fed this all the time and really separate the truth from lies? I mean, you really, really, really have to know the Bible very, very well to be able to see this is not. And the more that I know the Bible, the more I can pick out error. So prior to that, I didn't even know that it wasn't truth, you know? And that's the way with our children, too. As much as they know that is the truth, they can combat that evil, clearly, if they've been taught that first, you know? And that's what we try and get in our kids. But what about those things that they're not aware of, you know? Or maybe you're not aware of, you know? I mean, sometimes I didn't know it was not accurate from the Bible because I really didn't know that part that well about it. And some of it's just little nitpicky things. But you know what? How do I know that that's not a really key thing in my child's life? I don't really know. Also, one of the other things is, you know, some of the things that don't look like it, but Sesame Street and the Barney thing, there is so much dumbing down. And we hear that about dumbing down the schools, but it starts with these little kids, you know. And if you look at those books, I mean, I went through a time when all of a sudden my eyes were open, and I went through all of their books that they read and got rid of all that junk, you know. I am Cookie Monster. I am Blue, you know, and this kind of stuff. It's just like nonsense. Yet you pick up books that were written back in the times when our parents, or at least my parents, were in school, and they have these incredible stuff that's almost hard for me to read. Most, you know, and if I keep reading it, then I can pick up that speed. But to see those, and to see that that's what's feeding our kids this junk food of this stuff, and you wonder why. That now, you know, the eighth grade education, you know, we say, oh, our parents only had eighth grade education. Do you know the eighth grade education is better than what they're leaving when they have a degree in college? That is a sad thing. And then I wonder, what are you doing with our kids all these years, you know, if you cannot, you know, make them functionally literate by the time that you've had them for 12 years? It's like, it's just amazing. And so, you know, don't buy those kind of books. Try and buy some of the classics. And it might be hard at first, but the more that you do it and the more that they feed on it and the more that you slow or read over it again and try and read it, you know, to make it interesting. And if you have trouble reading it, then read it first, read a chapter, and then read it to them or something. But I didn't know about the missionaries and all these different things. I mean, the fact is that there's some wonderful ones. And so as I've bought these books for my kids, I'm reading them. And so if they're eighth grade level, I can zip right through them and things. So if your children are young, begin to read them there, and then you can encourage them to read them and become good readers. And I would tell you, too, in homeschooling, the most important thing that you can do is to get your children to love to read. And we are doing pretty well. We have one that doesn't not love to read yet, but we're not gonna give up on that. But when you read some of these, it not only exercises your mind, but feeds your soul too, because a lot of these have incredible morals. You won't believe some of the books written and how God is just so intertwined. And even Christian books today don't have what that has. And it wasn't even a Christian book, you know, because there was just, our world was so different for it. Well, I mentioned, you know, earlier, what are you going to do if your husband likes it for this or that or whatever? And you don't want to ever paint the picture that, you know, your husband is not, you know, he's evil, or, you know, daddy just doesn't understand or something. You've just totally turned your house upside down when you do that. And so we need to remember it's one without a word by our respectful behavior. And so, and chase is not, we think of it as an a way that has to do with the way we dress or something, but it's the way what we say and what we don't say. And so if your husband does that, I would just tell you, ladies, to pray. We've had some incredible testimonies of the power of prayer, and prayer works, works, works. And I will just tell you this. When we first came to the church, we met with the senior pastor and his wife, went out to dinner, we started talking, and we said something about not having television, and then Debbie said, "Oh, wow, that's what we always want." And John, "Oh, or something like that." And he was kind of doing like that. And I thought, here's prayer. We need to pray for them, because I could see her heart and I knew it. So we began as a family praying, and that they don't have television anymore. They do not have television anymore. It was pulled because we didn't know about it, but God is always faithful, too, to show you things. But when the war happened, he said we were scrambling to get it connected and get it out of the closet and all that kind of stuff. So God did a work there. And so you need to pray for your family. You need to pray that that happens and things. And you will be tested, too. And sometimes you'll break free of it, and then something will happen, and it will come back, and you'll be tested. And a lot of times, not testing about it's about how well you're going to respect your husband if he chooses to do that, and how much you're not going to get in the flesh and try and disconnect it or break it somehow or whatever, So you're going to be tested, but I am always tested because God is going to, he just, if you're going to get up there and speak, you have to have gone through the worst scenario or you got nothing to say. And so we had it, and we were delivered from it. And then shortly after Dan came back, he just thought it was wonderful, and the Gulf War broke out. And so we got this little television. And then some, quote, friend that I don't think of as a friend anymore, offered a television for $50. And then we're like, oh, that's okay, and money was tight at that time. And then when I was not in the room, they gave it to him. And prior to that, he was saying how much he enjoyed not having that pull of sports. That was his thing, sports, And he was pulled into that for many years. And now he looks back and says, what a waste. I didn't have time for my kids. What a waste. But the funny thing is that he knew enough that he didn't want to pull the boys in, and so they didn't watch. Now, it's funny, though. We had a big thing with the big screen, the men's had that that Super Bowl Sunday or something like that, and they went, and they don't watch football, but they had a great time. They won, so they don't, it's not like, oh, evil, run, it doesn't have to be like that, but it can hold on to you. And I was kind of concerned at the time, but I thought, God, whatever, you did this whole thing, you'll keep it, everything's going to be fine, because I thought, well, what if, Dan goes, and then he's like, oh, they, but I think, doesn't Super Bowl mean it's over? I think it does. So anyway, I thought, it wasn't bad. So anyway, and the other thing that you could do is take your TV down from a less important place. I have free reign to move furniture around, so you can do that. And also pray to put it in something, where you can shut the doors, lock it, so push it away. And that's what we have. We have one to watch videos, we watch revival tapes or some, and there's a lot of good educational tapes, Ken Hovind and things like that. And so we do watch that, and we do watch some old black and white, most you can't hear the sound, you can't see it very well, but it's good. And there's been some decent things, remakes on some things, so it's not that, and that's a really special treat for our family. We usually do it on family night, which is usually Friday if we get it. So anyway, and then I would tell you, too, is when you start doing it, and I have found that I have become very bold and unapologetic. Is that really a word? I think it's spell checked and didn't, so it is unapologetic. I like that. But is that when I go somewhere, I'm not embarrassed to turn it off. I used to go to a place, and the place where we go now, they cannot get reception in the mall. Isn't God good? So they can't watch television, but a lot of them, and it helps them to learn English sometimes, but they have it going all the time. But I'd go in there, and they'd be watching these terrible talk shows and this stuff, and I would go in, and I'd see the TV on, and I'd sit down. I wouldn't notice it right away, and I'm thinking, what is that noise? I'd look over, and here's this thing, and the ladies are all having their nails on, and I would go over and just click it off. And then I didn't say anything. I didn't say, may I turn? I just would click it off, and I turn around, and I go, we don't want to watch this, do we? We don't want to watch like that. And then we just sit down. And then I'd have some ladies that were clearly Christians said, oh, yes, it's terrible. They were almost done with their nails. And they had sat through the whole thing and probably watched it, but they didn't get up and turn it off, you know. And then sometimes somebody would go that wasn't in the room and come and turn it on. And I'd say, hold on. And I'd go and turn up. We don't want to watch this. And we just sit this down. You know, and what we found is that people would start having conversations and we'd be talking and I could share my faith with the Lord or say, where are you, you know, tell me about you, you know, and stuff. And trying to listen, you know, it's really hard when they're foreign. You're like, oh, I'm not getting this, you know, God help me, you know. And so, but it's like that. Or going into a restaurant and we've come into nice restaurants and the television is in there. And then it's too high for me to click off. You know, I'd have to stand up on the table or something, you know. So I have to get the manager, could you turn this off? And they go, what? I go, could you just turn this off? And, you know, they made a big thing to get us a big table anyway, so it's not like can we move to another table farther away from it. But that noise, and they say, and then it's like, they have that, why would you want to turn it off? And I said, you know, that stuff, please. You know, it's just, you know. And so, you know, you want to go into a restaurant, you know, no smoking and no television, you know, just turn it off or whatever. It's just, it's on all the time. Or if I go into somebody's home, or when I would go and visit my parents, the very first thing I'd say, hi, Mom, kiss, and did like that. That was it. And then she started to say, as soon as we'd do a couple knocks on the door, you know, we didn't walk right in time, like that, she'd click it right off, you know, because I just don't want that noise. Because I was constantly turning to it. Plus, what's going to come on that dumb screen, you know, when it, and it's so distracting for everyone. So anyway, also, finding an alternative. Don't just take something away. It says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. If you are too busy, if you plan, pray, you know, pray during the day. Lord, okay, we know, you know, my husband's going to come home and, you know, what can we do? How can we break away from this, you know? Maybe you eat your meals in front of the television or something. Some people do that. If you're at that, start to set a nice table. Put candles out. Do something fun. And have a dessert, too, made so that everybody will sit there. And the longer that they're there, it's a little bit more time. Getting a game or something like that. The other thing we do is we do shows, like the kids will put on a show or something like that. And the ones that our kids really like is when we get in the act, you know, and we'll do a song, we'll put on one of Brooklyn Tabernacles, and that's when I can pretend I can really sing, you know. And I lip sync that, you know, there's somewhere there's the man and the woman together, and you could sing together. And so Dan does the men part, right? You know, and they just laugh, and they love that. Or our older ones are so funny, if we can get them to get up there and do, you know, like that. But those things are really fun, and, you know, or if it's good weather, of course, we're going into cold weather and stuff, going outside or whatever, or going someplace, going to visit somebody, making cookies and going to visit that. Your husband may not be that type, and so whatever. But even if he wants to stay behind, maybe he would just like the break, you know, to take the kids and go and then come on back and things. You have to be just determined. I'm one that can't leave once I get there. You know, can I spend the night? You know, I just never know when to quit. But we're going to quit right now, and we're going to go to we're going to bring the table in. So if we just take a break, and we're going to talk about not worthless things, but good things. Okay, what I'm going to do is just kind of go over some things, and we're going to get into, I think it's next week, we're going to start talking about how to put together curriculum rather than just buying a curriculum, but some things that really, really work. But this is some of it, and some of it is kind of curriculum that I put together. But anyway, one of the biggest things that people talk about is reading programs and things like that. And, you know, you can do that. It helps you to feel better about it. Some people can teach just as well just by teaching their child things. My brother, who's a linguistics professor, he taught his girls to read English. They don't, that was their second language too, but to read English like at 4 or something. And he believed in teaching them like sight, you know, like that type of thing till they got strong in it, and then got to the place where, well, you know, what word is that, Daddy? And he goes, well, you know, it's this. And he would just kind of tell them as they went. I've heard of stories like the Pearls, Michael and Debbie Pearl. They just began reading the Bible with their children and marking all the things that was God, you know, and God created you now and things like that. And God honored that, and their children just picked up on reading, never really learned phonics, but we'd kind of teach them, you know, that you know, and they would kind of do it, but not anything so laid out. And probably that's the best way. But it's hard for those who just go, oh man, this seems so overwhelming. And especially if you didn't learn phonics yourself, if you learn sight reading. And let me tell you, we do all sight read. You know, I mean, we don't sit there and sound out. So we do that. It's just when you get to the word that you don't know, you have to sound it out. But anyway, there are some things. I had gotten the Sing, Spell, Read, and Write. This is the newest one that is upgraded. It is kind of expensive if you have a lot of children, you know, that'll be coming along. You can invest in it, and pretty much other than the workbooks, it's pretty much non-consumable. And so you can get them again. But this tells a little bit about it, so feel free to look into that, and you can get the phone number for it. The best part about this is they like the songs. It's kind of all there. They have the little racetrack that they go around, so there's kind of an incentive program and things. And it's well done. And let's see, I think I have to try and think of we've had a lot of reading programs. My son, I think just the last 2 and 3 are doing this one just because I bought it. I bought a used thing and I got it, and it's just easy for me to go through, and they do the spelling and the singing and stuff. And if you really follow it, it's pretty easy to follow. But it's pretty intense. And I will tell you too, you know, if you just do just that with your child, you know, for the first couple years, when you know that they're ready and you just concentrate on it and don't do anything else and just get them where they're doing it, the rest of homeschooling is really easy. If you've brought your children out of public school, you really want to see, they probably, you know, you want them to be able to read well. And I would tell you this would just probably not be so good for them. There is one, and I tried to get it on the internet, it's called Fast Track Reading. It's a Christian who developed it. It's very good for remedial. It's very fast, it's very simple, and as a matter of fact, it's a little bit, though she used it with her like 4-year-old and things like that, in some ways I found that our kids couldn't go beyond a certain place and stuff, but it's a very good remedial program. And our older children learned that in order to help as a witnessing tool, to help people who couldn't read in our area and stuff like that, and help to tutor them and things. So it's a really good program. But I tried to find on the internet, it kept coming up not found. So I don't know if they're switching over web pages or whatever, but it's called Fast Track Action Reading. That's what it is, Fast Track Action Reading. Okay, this is part of Abeka. And I'll tell you the benefit of Abeka. It's very, very fast. They get their 3 and 4-year-olds to read like that down at Pensacola Christian College, Pensacola Christian Elementary, where these are made. And they go through very, very quick. And the other thing that's really neat is by the time they get through this, which is very, very fast, they go right into like reading poetry and stuff with bigger words. And you see them go from nothing to being able to pick up anything, Dr. Seuss books, any of the readers and stuff, and read right through them, where you will not find that in Sing Spell. They're very, you know, slow. They read only A words, and then they read only the E words, and they kind of slow. And in some ways, this probably is very it's much more complicated than maybe it needs to be. But it needs to be something that's conducive to you and to your child. And so buying used things are really, really good. Exchanging them, borrowing from somebody who's just already learned, you know, and if you take good care of it and you can give it back, or rent it from somebody, offer to do that. But those are some of the better ones. I will leave this handbook for reading. This is probably a fairly decent one if you're not aware of phonetics. You know, you can go through it really, really fast and see that. The other thing about is reading for interest and pleasure. I will tell you that The Abeka books, Reading for Pleasure, you're not going to find Reading for Pleasure in these. They're boring and kind of dumb books, you know, but they're slow rising stuff. But my kids really like the Abeka reader series, first, second, and third grade. And if you can get through that, that's really a really good thing. I'll tell you, too, that this last summer, I don't know about you, but you know, you homeschool all the way, then they take a month, you know, all the month, you know, and some people do it all year long, and I'm thinking, oh, I need a break, you know. So I never really was into that, but this last year we did something that was very different, and it worked, and I'm going to tell you, it really, really was good. But our children wanted some things that we would have got them anyway for our pool. They had the mask that had the mermaid and the shark, you know, just junk, you know, but they wanted this stuff. And so I asked my husband, I said, can we just go ahead and get these? And then I'm going to have them read in order to gain each piece. And I did. And you know, it was that. And then we got these little chairs that they needed for when we went for horse training anyway. We were going to buy them anyway. We put a price on that, you know, I mean, reading price. And a couple other things. And my one daughter, who is nine, she went, she read three grade levels in that one summer. She just went zoom. And the other one went one and a half, the boy and stuff, and he went one and a half. And right now, he's reading through the Bible. He's eight. He just turned eight. And he says, I'm going to be a man of God. I've got to read through the Bible. And he's saying, you know what? What Pastor John said is absolutely right. Here is about Abraham. And he did everything. Pastor's, he's saying exactly what it really does say. So I was happy to hear that, you know, that he was, you know. But he's listening to that, you know, the evening about, you know, when he's going through the Bible. And so he's been reading about it. He says, this is where I am now, you know, and he tells me about this. But he's getting up and reading that. And I think that's incredible. But that was really through this incentive program, you know, to get these little pieces and stuff. So pray about it. Things that you would normally have given them, fun things that they want, and then have them reading through the readers and stuff like that and going through those grades. Another one, and I didn't bring it, you know what, I put these books out on the table and the kids picked them up and went and read them. They're gone, but the Sugar Creek Gang is gone, but the Sugar Creek Gang, all two of my boys liked them, the other one didn't really get into it. But those are really good for boys, and they're written way back, and they're good. They're adventures, and the more that they read, and you can usually get those like at CBD, and I did put that in your notes. But you can call there, and a lot of times you can get the whole series for a really good price, and so you could do that. And those are really good investments. My girls kind of got into the American Girl for a while. It's kind of a dumbed down, you know, kind of thing. But if you get it for when they're just kind of getting out of their reading program for interest, they're pretty good. They're kind of expensive. I think Sam's had the case, you know, like that. You can also get them at the library. Be forewarned, you'll probably end up having to buy one of these expensive dolls. We thought we wouldn't, but of course we did. Now it just sits. But anyway, that's the negative of that. Once they get going, this Elsie Dinsmore, people have different feelings. They remade these. And I would not buy the new ones and think, because one of the benefits of this is that it's very hard reading and it really stretches them, and it's very, very Christian, and it's just incredible what they were. But my mother read these, and now I thought that they're up to eight. They may be up to more of the remake, but there's several of them. And some I didn't, and I ended up reading them because I had never read them. And that was the first book I think I ever read for enjoyment. I always read things to change me or to improve me or something. But anyway, that was good. Also, I mentioned before, these are the Sower series, and then these are the Heroes of Faith. This is a lower level, you know, like fifth through eighth grade, you know, it's kind of the average. It doesn't really matter how old your children are, but at some point they could start reading these. And then these, Carol and I were just talking about it before, is that these are really, I really enjoyed these, to really know who these people were. And they're, I think they're like 12 to adult is what they talk about those. Also, I talked about reading books out loud. And I didn't bring the one, and now I can't think of what his name is. But anyway, there's some other, Homer Price, those are kind of funny books. We read those. There's some other that are just kind of fun books that you can read, and when it's raining or in the evening or whatever, and start reading through those. The E.B. White, you know, those are really good ones. We read Hinds Feet on High Places several times. The children really, really enjoyed that. And the one that we did, though, I have to tell you, you have to kind of censor. I read this out loud, and it's very difficult because it's written English, you know, and they spell tire, T-Y-R-E, you know, and stuff. And so you're like, what is that word? But and some of it has, you know, the old time, you know, things like that. Or words that we use as profanity, but they're actually, you know, female names for dogs and things like that that are in here. So we just kind of jump over them and I read them. But we read these out loud, mostly with the older ones, and we just laugh, you know, we just enjoy it. And it's funny, now that we live on a farm, we can relate more to it. But there's a book that's called Honey for a Child's Heart, and it talks about different books and things like that. And it's not exactly what we share, but it will give you an idea of what's out there and what's good and what's not good and kind of get you started. So if you haven't been a reading family or you weren't raised that way, or find somebody in the church or a friend who was raised without television or read a lot or something, and they'll be able to help you and lend you some books. And then if you like them, then you can go and purchase them. Right now, Tyler's already gone through, she's 14, but now I pass on some of my favorite books. Kathy Leshner, if you have her, she's very, very funny, but very, very deep. I mean, I've never laughed so much as reading this, and I'll come and share parts of it with the family where I am just laughing so much that I'm crying, you know, and doubling over and stuff, and yet I've been very, very convicted and things like that. And they have that. Kathy Leshner, she's kind of fun. She's funny with all that, but she's really good. And I've got all of her books, always looking for when she has new ones. Also, another thing that our children do, and I never did it, but reading encyclopedias. This was a set that we got, was like, I think it was like $35 at Sam's, and I was trying to see where could we get newer ones. We did lose one somehow. It probably dropped into a trash or something and somebody threw it. But anyway, my children love to read the encyclopedias, even the littlest one. She'll get in there and she can read certain ones. She knows, she gets to the dog thing and she reads all about the dogs and stuff. But encyclopedias are good to have. The other, you know, and I don't think I put it in here. I put down about writing and spelling and things, and emailing family or writing letters is really the best way. Pulling those spelling words from what they cannot write is probably the best. And I've tried formal. I have all kinds of different things I've tried, but I have found that that is the best to do. Signs, we already talked about Kent Hovind for the creation signs. We had one that wanted to go into medicine at a time, and so we got the anatomy of a coloring book. And so my son gave it back to me and said, would you pull out all the pictures that I don't want to study? And so I pulled out all the ones of the anatomically correct things. We pulled those out. Another one for science that we did for many, many years, this is the character sketches. This is from Bill Gothard, and it's in your notes so that you can do that. But these are really tremendous, and they do have a coloring book that goes with it, and so that is really good, and it's actually cheaper unless you have access to a free copy machine. Just to buy one, I think they're $3. Though on the website, I did not see the coloring books, but I assume that they still have them, and there is an 800 number there for you to order. It used to be at one time that you had to have gone through it, and I don't know if that's still true or not, that you have to have gone through their seminar to get them. But if that's the case, it is a good seminar, or sometimes you can borrow them for some other people, but that's really, really good. These are the Kent Hovind tapes. Okay, and then for Saxon, I will just tell you, from fourth on, I think Saxon, there's nothing better than Saxon, and I didn't get it in the notes, but I will put it in there, how to contact them and things. They're good for remedial. It's good because the children can learn on their own, and also that it's non-consumable is a very big factor in our family, because we can go through, and once we invest in this, we know that it's going to be used many times. But if you don't have a lot of children or something, they are good resale too. People will like to pick those up. So I'm going to leave this with somebody, because at one time I saw a sale and bought it, and I already had that one. But we go all the way up. I don't like them for the younger grades. I think it's too complicated. It's kind of like preschool to get them ready for first grade. I don't even think it's necessary. But so I was doing a Beckett, and I don't like, they changed it, and it's just so Mickey Mouse, and it just is not like it was. I mean, the guy that represented from it, he said, oh, you're the only person that feels that way. I said, well, you know, I don't like it. You know, I don't like what you've done to it. And so some people say that Bob Jones is that way. Don't know that for sure. But what we're trying with this one, I'm experimenting on the one boy who doesn't seem to be able to catch on anyway. So it's just struggling. So what I'm doing with him is doing flashcards. I mean, he knows his numbers and stuff like that, but doing flashcards so he can add fast and multiply and just getting those in. And then I'm going to try and just start him from that into that when he gets to that age. So we'll see if it's a disaster or if I have a testimony. We'll just see. So anyway, now somebody asked me and I forgot to bring my Geo Safari, but I do have a Geo Safari. A lot of them really like that for learning the states and capitals and stuff. And I'm going to show you something next week with my little ones to get them just to love geography, and it just really works for a curriculum. I'm going to show you that next week. But our older ones really like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. I don't know that they think this one is that good, but if they really get on and research, you know, this stuff, they really have gotten a kick out of it. Even they've played it, and he's in his 20s. He likes to play that and you know, where it is and look on the globe and stuff like that. So that's really a fun thing to do. And I don't like all of it. It's just a little, it's not Christian or whatever like that. And some of it's like, oh, you know. But our older ones said, oh, we like it. Somebody gave it to us, I think, as a gift. And so our older ones like it. But I'm not endorsing it. I'm just telling you what my kids have said. They like it. The other one, I will tell you, this is one of our best investments, but a big investment. But this was for our family. These are, I think I saw the price on it. It's like $275 or something. But this is the world's 100 greatest people. And I will tell you that I was very surprised that it was not slanted and the straight shot. Now, some of it is a little bit like, I think Joseph Smith, they kind of made him out, you know, the founder of the Mormon, made him out to be more of a good guy. But usually they're very unbiased, no way either way. And so you could kind of see that. But the neat part about it is that you listen to it, and anywhere, and then in here, it has this, which is an outline. And they can use this and write some really good reports from it. But we start, and actually my husband said, let's all listen to it because I really enjoy it. But I'll tell you what they have. They have artists like Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo and stuff. And if you get the books that go with to show his paintings or whatever, composers, and I will share you a curriculum about that I kind of developed, and we just love it. And I'll tell you about that. Very easy to do. I like easy, but that works really well. Religious leaders, and they have Abraham and even Jesus Christ, though I haven't listened to him. Political leaders, military leaders, and these are just, and I think these are all that's in here. There's other ones, too, in the volume one. But these are really good. Another thing about this is I think it was when Macy was just, you know, that age where they get a tape and they just like to pull it out, you know. And so they had gotten one that we hadn't listened to. And so I called about the replacement. And she said, well, have you ever called for replacement before? I said, no, they have an 800 number in here. And she said, well, I'll just send it to you. She didn't charge anything for the shipping or whatever. And I was very impressed by that. But it is an investment. They really are. But when you figure out a lot of the curriculum that you don't use, I will tell you, your family will really enjoy it. And because it's on a tape, if there's something like, wait a minute, you know, because I haven't listened to all of them, you know, wait a minute, I don't think that is. And also backing it up by what's in the encyclopedia, researching a little bit. But you can do a lot with the foundation because you can listen to this. And I really like that. And the last thing I want to share is for art and things, Walter Foster was a friend of my father's, and he has an incredible way of helping people to sketch and things. Usually you see it in those big ones, you know, like that. But if your child's kind of into that, get some of those basic ones so that they can see how they start the circle and they add and they do it lightly. And, you know, they're going to try and push hard, but no, just really lightly, and how you add into that and get the foundations and stuff. But he has done a tremendous job with that. And so if your child's into that, you know, we haven't sent them for art, but there are some of our children have some real art talents. Jump my generation, it went on to theirs. But this is a really good one. So after we get done, have a curriculum exchange and give away some things and pick up some good things. And let's try and not put anything worthless in front of our children, whether it be the television or crummy curriculum that you invested in. You know, don't, you know, it's better to just get rid of it.